بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباد الذين اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحج اشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى وأيضا قال الله سبحانه وتعالى إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مبارك وهدى للعالمين فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الحج مبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم صدق على رسوله الكريم. Respected elders and brothers, Allah Ta'ala has made this after Iman four pillars, which we know as the Farz, that's our Salah, our fasting, our Zakah and Hajj. Hajj is a very special pillar. This is such a pillar that was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or made upon compulsory upon the ummah right at the end. We find that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the Hajj in the 10th year of Hijri, and a few months later in the month of Rabi al-Awwal, this was Zil Hajj. Thereafter you get Muharram, Safar, Rabi al-Awwal. And Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this world. Give and take approximately 3 months after Hajj, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaves this world. This important farz act was given to our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or he performed this act, showing it to all the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in after a long period of 23 years of effort upon them. One wisdom and one point that the ulama have explained, that period that had come before that, it was a period of spiritual growing, development, getting closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a way that finally when the Hajj came at that time, Subhanallah, Sahaba were made in such a way that they learned how to take from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah brought it right in the end. And they got the true barakat because of their preparation spiritually. So at this juncture and this point, it's very important that spiritual preparation for this Mubarak journey should start as quick as possible, or basically immediately. In the years gone by, when people used to travel by ship, they used to have a system. For example, if the journey would take place maybe sometimes 6 months before Hajj, and everybody would go from Ramadan till Hajj. From Ramadan till Hajj, even in South Africa. But prior to aeroplanes, etc., when people left, sometimes it used to be a journey of 1 year. And in this journey that they traveled by ship, they would have people that would be teaching them, ulama and pious people, that in that journey by ship, in fact, they, like for example in India, they would have what you refer to as a Hajj camp. The port was Bombay. So from different parts of India, everybody would come to Bombay. And they would have these camps there, hostels there, where everybody would gather, waiting for their ships to take them. But in the meantime, there used to be these lessons and the spiritual preparations, that by the time the person reached Madina Manawara or Makkah Mukarramah, He was already geared spiritually. He would learn to spend his time properly and he would benefit from his Hajj. Now he's discussing this benefiting from Hajj. Let us first understand what is expected from us who are going for Hajj. And those that are going for Umrah, what is expected from us? What is expected from us? Now start off first with this ayah that I recited first. Al-Hajju Ashhurum Ma'lumat. Faman farada fihin al-Hajj. Fala rafasa wala fusuqa wala jidala fil Hajj. Here Allah Ta'ala is saying when Hajj becomes faraz on a person, there should not be any rafas, fusuq, wala jidal. Now let me explain these points and then go into the detail here. Allah is saying when a person goes for Hajj, there should not be any lewdness. There should not be any kind of intimacy while in the state of ihram, even with one's own wife. Meaning that there should not be any kind of this male-female attraction or attachment or these kind of things. You're supposed to be attached only to Allah. Yeah, one is one's wife is halal under normal circumstances. But you have been told while in Hajj, while in ihram, that there is not supposed to be any intimate relationship between the two. How much more it is prohibited to have any intermingling or any kind of relationship with any other woman there. And this is mentioned because when a person is in Hajj, we have situations that there is going to be the intermingling. And that is where our gazes have to be looked after. And this is a point I'd like to bring at this point. You know, some people are very, very, can I say, casual about everything. You will have in Mina the male tent and the female tents. And without any kind of concern, the guy will walk into the lady's tent. They are those women that are, mashallah, very conscious of their parda, etc. He'll walk into the tent, seeing all the ladies over there, and shout for his wife, Fatima, come here. But you're looking at all the women and calling your wife while in the state of ihram? And doing this kind of a wrong in this Mubarak place? So this is at one angle. We'll go a little later and discuss again. The second point, there should not be any fusuq, sinning of any nature when Hajj becomes faraz. That is why I spoke about that spiritual preparation. That we should have the spiritual preparation. Now at this point, I would like to just go further down in that ayat where Allah says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى. Allah Ta'ala says, and make your preparations. Make your preparations. We talk of preparations. Now the person wants to know, you know, rehydrate must I take, and what kind of biltong I must take, and this kind of champal I must have, and all the knapsack that I must need. What are the things that I need, and this cream I need to take, and that cream I need to take, and this medication. All those lists are there. Yes, watazawwadu. Do your preparation. Do your financial preparation. Have all that means. However, watazawwadu fa inna khayra zadi taqwa. But the best preparation is the preparation of taqwa. The piety, the abstaining from sin. Wala fusuq. There should not be any sinning. Be it ghibat, be it lies, be it whatever. Selfies. All these kind of things, videoing, all these things are not supposed to take place, whether it's Hajj, whether it's Umrah, or even like that. It's a spiritual journey, it's not a show of journey. That is why Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam's dua, I repeat, understand this very important point. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's dua was, Allahumma inni as'aluka hajjan la riya wa la sum'a. I ask you for a Hajj In where there is no riyah, no showing off, no sum'ah, hearing that I'm like this and I'm showing off with my hajj and showing off with my, you know, with this video, I'm here and I'm here. No, I don't do it for people to praise me. And I don't do it for show. La riyah, Rasulullah is giving this dua. Walillahi ala nasi hijjul bayt. For the pleasure of Allah is to go to the house. No other objective, no name and fame. That is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has spoken about a time will come when people will be doing hajj for show. Allah protect us from that. Protect every haji from that. Every haji should understand that pact. So that part about staying away from sin, make sure and make an effort to get taqwa. The last part, wala jidal. And there should not be any fighting in hajj. There should not be any fighting in hajj. Look at these 3 points. Now we're going to just go and discuss this point of jidal. One side, no fighting, no arguments, no getting angry. Keep your cool and calm in hajj. That's one side. On the other side, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has spoken about hajj mabrur. A hajj that is perfect. A hajj that is full of reward. Laysa lahu jazaun illa al-jannah, for which there is no reward but jannat. All of us are jannat, inshallah. How do you get the jannat when it comes to hajj? And how do we get hajj mabrur? Every one of us must strive to get hajj mabrur. Allah make it like that. Hajj mabrur. What is hajj mabrur? For which there is no hajj mabrur, as Rasulullah said, laysa lahu jazaun illa al-jannah, there is only jannat. Hajj mabrur is explained as 3 points. Leenul kalam, ifsha'us salam, wa it'amut ta'am. Now understand this point. Leenul kalam, being soft in your speech, loving in your speech, kind in your speech, the attitude in which you're going to start talking to people. People from all parts of the world are going to be there. It's going to be hot. You're going to be tired. You're going to be having different situations and conditions. Everything is not going to be like how you have at home. So under those circumstances, will I still have a cool hearted? Will I still be calm? Will I still be relaxed? Will I not get angry and agitated? I'd like to mention this point, especially when a person comes to Mina on the first day. And so often it happens like that, you know what, the tent is insufficient, or somebody has taken our tent and it's hot, and you know, maybe the food is not right and something or the other, and Allah is going to be testing us. Leenul kalam, softness in our speech. And then now there's going to be people from different parts of the world over there. How our attitude is going to be. You know, I like to mention this. Allah gave me tawfiq. The one year, we got to our tent in Arafat. We reached Arafat. When we got to the tent, the Nigerians were in our tent already. So the guy from Sahuk tells me, Maulana, this is your tent. There was enough space there, but they were there with their wives. Wives were one side, men were one side. So we sat down with them. I said, guys, come and sit down. So when we sat down, I was with a walking group. So we all sat down. The bus group was still to come. Then these Nigerians sort of woke up and went away. Then the guy came back for me from the leader of the Nigerians. He says to me, brother, can you allow our ladies to sit here? I said, brother, listen to me. Your great-great-grandfather and my great-great-grandfather, your great-granny and my great-granny is one, Adam and Hawa. You, my brother, you are one family. Welcome, you can stay here. This had such a profound effect on that guy. He felt so pleased that, you know what, we are giving him place. Sad to say, after that, some of them or all of them went to another tent. And when they were in that tent, when the South Africans got into that tent, Ya Allah, they started swearing them in Arafah. It ended up in such an argument that those Nigerians said, we are not coming out of here, you can do what you want to do. But the commotion was there thereafter. The Haji is fighting with the Sahuk members and the Hajj agent, and there's just commotion. Actually, we're already resting and we hear all this noise. But akhlaq, character, how you present yourself is such an important factor. Now, coming back to this point, you have to be soft in your speech, making salam to everyone, understanding that this is my Muslim brother. Allah has brought the whole world over here, whichever part of the world. And this is again the beauty of our Islam. The beauty of our Islam. Allahu Akbar, whether the guy is from Africa, China, Russia, Malaysia, Indonesia, America, Australia, whichever part of the world, Allah says, ifshaw salam, make salam to all of them. Subhanallah, this can only happen in the deen of Islam. If it was a Christian from France, he'll say, comment ça va? That fella say, don't know what you're talking. Because he's saying different way, his greeting is different. The person from China, he's different. Christian is different. Everybody's greeting in Christianity is different. But look at the unity of our Islam. The beauty of our Islam. Salam to everyone, and everyone can reply to your salam. This is that unity, the brotherhood, and that love within the Muslims. And when you will be saying to him, assalamu alaikum, salamati to you, O my brother, peace be to you, O my brother, and he's going to be saying, you know, beloved brothers, you don't realize the salam is so important, especially when it comes to Hajj. That unity that is seen when all of us are making salam, which is unfortunately dying. Really, I have seen the impact and the effect of those people that went from tent to tent and went from person to person, even in Mina, going from tent to tent and making salam to everybody. Do it. Whether it's Madina Munawwara, Makkah Mukarrama, go and make salam to them and tell them, peace be upon you, mercy be upon you. And he's a Haji, he's going to reply, his duas are accepted, your duas are accepted, inshallah there's going to be peace in his country, there's going to be peace in our country also. Leenul kalam, ifshaw salam, wa it'amut ta'am. And to feed them. And to feed them. This is Haji Mabru, to feed them. When it comes to this point of feeding, Marhum Bhai Pare Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say to us, in South Africa, you got all your cold drinks, but you don't get Zamzam. Yeah, in Makkah, Mukarrama, Madina, Munawwara, you're getting Zamzam. Drink the Zamzam, save the money, don't drink the cold drinks. Use that money, buy something and feed somebody. Whichever way it can be. Beloved brothers, you know, sometimes when we used to look at those opportunities to give them something, you know, we should make mashura amongst ourselves. And I'm saying this just to show an idea. We should make a mashura amongst ourselves. Okay, let's collect, put some money together. And sometimes we should put quite a bit of money. And then after Juma Salah, after one Zohar Salah, when everybody is coming out of the haram, we would have stacks of cold drink or juice or whatever it is. And we just say sabil. We just say sabil. I can tell you, brothers, how much you can have within 10 minutes or even 5 minutes is finished. We're passing this way, that way, that whole amount that we have is there, is all finished in no time. But the pleasure, Haji, Haji, we're giving him water, we're giving him cold drink, or we're giving him something. It is such a pleasing thing to be able to do that. And imagine you doing this. Be it in, you know, Allah Akbar, Allah has given some of our South Africans such hearts that while in Arafah, it's hot over there, they would go buy as much as they can of ice creams, and they give everybody ice cream. Say, buy, have this ice cream. It'amut ta'am, and feed the people, feed the people. In whichever way they could feed the people, they would feed the people. They would look for those opportunities. And it was such a pleasing thing to be able to do this. There were occasions, you know, the one year I remember, we were in Arafah and the food was coming late or whatever. You know, and this can happen, you can expect the unexpected. However, Allah shukr, we had put money together, so we had bread by us, we had some cheese by us, we had some tuna by us, we had some chips by us, we had mayonnaise by us. The people, we all got together and we made sandwiches. And alhamdulillah, the way they enjoyed those sandwiches, everybody having something to eat. Although inshallah food will be there, but sometime it can be delayed, etc. And imagine you just took in your bus, you loaded your bus with bread, you loaded your bus with chips, you loaded your bus with just cans and you gave them. So, it'amut ta'am. Now, the point that I want to bring across, Hajj-e-Mabroor is said to be, for which there is no reward but Jannat, is three things: Leenul Kalam, Ifsha'us Salam, it'amut ta'am. Being kind to the people in your speech, not to be al-vulgar and rough, to be able to feed people and to make salam. It is not said that the person who's Hajj-e-Mabroor is the one that made many tawafs, or made, the extra ibadat. It said this. This is Hajj-e-Mabroor. Not that it's not virtuous. It's very virtuous to be able to make extra tawaf. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged making tawaf. Every step, 700,000 sawab you get. As you pick your leg up, you get sawab. As you put your foot down, you're getting sawab. Even actually from the time you leave from South Africa, every step you take, now every cycle of that wheel of the car or the engine moving in the plane, every round, a sin is being forgiven, your status is being raised, and reward is being given to you on this journey the minute you leave from your home. Continuously that register, that thing is ticking away in sawab for the person that's going for Hajj. Subhanallah. You must be aware of this great reward from the minute you're leaving your home. Once you've read that two rakat salah, Ya Allah, make it this journey in Hajj, make it easy for me and ask for Allah's assistance. The minute you start walking, already that register is ticking. Already your du'as are going to be accepted. Immediately you're walking out of your house. This is how fortunate the Haji is. But coming back to that point, Hajj-e-Mabroor, Leenul Kalam, Ifsha'us Salam, It'amut Ta'am, talking kindly, feeding the people, making salam to the people. What is all this? This is a sign when a person will bring these qualities into him. It is leading to what is known as Husn-e Khulq, beautiful character. When you'll be that person smiling in salam, feeding the people and talking kindness. What is that? That is good character. Allah Ta'ala wants every haji that he returns in such a way that he's become a transformed person in his character. He's become soft by in his nature. He is supposed to be a person that is now got husn-e khulq. Why? Good character. Beloved brothers, if somebody has to ask you this question, what action is most beloved by Allah? Somebody may say tilawat-e Quran. Somebody may say tahajjud salah. Somebody may say different things. Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned, athqalu shay'in 'ala al-mizan yawm al-qiyamah. The thing that will be most heaviest on your scales, most heaviest on your scales on the day of qiyamah will be good character. Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned, I give guarantee for a place in the beginning part of Jannat for that person that will give up a dispute, forsake his rights to avoid a dispute. I give guarantee for a place in the middle part of Jannat for those that will give up lies even jokingly. And I give guarantee for a place in the upper part of Jannat for the one that will make an effort to create, get into him good akhlaq, good character. So understand the position of good character. This is what is expected from the haji. And this part of it'amut ta'am, feeding people. As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned, khairun nas ma anfa'un nas. The most best of people are those that are most beneficial to the people. This is the quality that is expected from the haji. To be a person that it has that beautiful character of caring for everyone. That's why we must understand that this is what is expected from the haji. Expected from the haji. understand that I have to now start preparing myself that I am going to be a changed person. One of the signs that your Hajj is accepted is that you become soft by nature. You become soft by nature. No more swearing, no more vulgarness and anger, etc. No, be it from the lady's side, be it from the men's side. No, you have to change. This is a very big part of your acceptance of your Hajj, that you have become a changed person. So this is that very important aspect. This is the one thing that is expected from the Haji, that he has to become a changed person in his character. So we have to look towards that and make that effort and prepare ourselves psychologically. There's going to be tests and trials. Sometimes you get to your hotel and your room is not ready. Sometimes you have to wait for long periods. You know, there's so much of incidents that I can mention of different kinds of situations. Allahu Akbar. I remember on one occasion, we just finished Hajj and we are now going to Masjid al-Aqsa. So we come to Jeddah. Now the system there was such that I was traveling from Madina Munawara. After Hajj, I went to Madina Sharif. From Madina Sharif, I'm flying to Jeddah, and from Jeddah, we're taking the flight to Amman. The system is they don't give you the passport. The passport is going to be given to those authorities in the plane, and they'll give it to you at the Jeddah airport, and then you do your immigration and you leave. So the Muassasa comes to the airport. Your passport? Yes, my passport. Okay, we'll give it to you in Jeddah airport, and they're supposed to give it to the authority there. I jump in the plane, I got my boarding pass, I get to what you call Jeddah, I jump off, get off, go by those people in charge of the passports. I came to collect my passport. They check in the bag, then my passport is not there. They left my passport in Madina Munawara. And I am taking the flight to Amman. Now, normal circumstances, bhai, you're going to miss the flight, everything going to go haywire. But shukar alhamdulillah, we have this belief and we must have this belief. Whatever Allah has destined is going to happen. Shukr alhamdulillah, that guy said, don't worry, we'll see what we can do for you. The flight was in the morning, I must have got there at 10 o'clock in the night to Jeddah. My flight is in the morning, about 7 o'clock in the morning. He said, no, we'll try and do something. He phones Medina, that guy's passport is there. He says, yes. He said, well, you take a car and come to Jeddah. From Madina, come to Jeddah and bring his passport. Now I'm looking at time. 5 o'clock already, not long after that, they're going to be closing that what you call counter. I told the guy, just go tell them they must keep my bags already checked in. Let's see what happens. Subhanallah, 5, 5:30. Now it's getting almost like 6:30, Shukr alhamdulillah, the passport comes. He gives me the passport and I make it on the flight, alhamdulillah. But the thing is, to be having that calmness about ourselves. Situations are going to be coming like that, and different kinds of situations in different times. But to keep that cool is very, very important preparation for your Hajj. And this is all that to understand, my object is my pleasing of my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not going to do anything that's going to earn the wrath of Allah. Now I just want to bring two very important points. If you look at this whole thing, that Leenul Kalam, Ifshaus Salam, It'amut Tam, this specific part is all related to man, to the rights of people, to be good to people. If you will study the khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what we know as the farewell khutbah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, what day is this? This is the 10th of Zilhajj, this is the blessed day. Where is this place? This is Makkah Mukarramah. And all the, what month is this? This is the month of Zilhajj. Speaking how auspicious, how sacred those days are. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, and this is that very important factor, understand, more sacred than this day, than this month, than this place, is the honor of a believer. The honor of a believer. The respect of a believer, the rights of people, emphasized on the occasion of the farewell Hajj of Rasulullah, Hajjatul Wida, Nabi Sallam gives this bayan, showing how important it is for us to be mindful of the rights and the feelings and the consciousness and everything of a person, the hukuk of people. Take another angle. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes dua in Arafat for 6 hours, approximately, from Zawal to sunset, from Zohar to sunset. One dua is not accepted. Oh Allah, Nabi says, I'm making dua. Oh Allah, forgive even the oppressors, those that make zulm on others. Those that make zulm on others. In Arafah, where Allah is saying, ask and I will give you. Ask whatever need you have and whatever is good for you, I will fulfill it for you. Allah is on the first heavens, giving us whatever we want, telling us that you'll be completely forgiven. Everything. And whoever you'll ask for forgiveness will be whoever you'll ask for forgiveness, that person will also be forgiven. That is Arafah. But subhanallah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beloved of Allah, the Habib of Allah, is making a dua that the oppressors must also be forgiven. The zalims will be forgiven. Not answered. To show how important it is to fulfill the rights of people. Not to usurp their wealth, not to insult them, not to be abusive to them, especially when it comes to our children, like our wives, our family members. Again, this is part of good character. This dua was only answered in Muzdalifah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so concerned that even the zalim will be forgiven. Allah answered that dua. That is when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiled in Muzdalifah. But the point that is being emphasized here, understand how important it is to fulfill the rights of people. When we become conscious of that, I always say, people, always think of the hearts of others. Always think of the hearts of people. What you say, how you say, how you conduct yourself, will it hurt the person? Will it hurt the person what you are saying? Have that attitude, the talk in such a way that you become, you know, sweet in your tongue. Allah make us like that. This is a very important dua. When you look at in the duas of Rasulullah SAW, one of the duas, Allahumma ighfir li zambi wa adhhib ghayza qalbi. Allahumma ighfir li zambi wa adhhib ghayza qalbi. Oh Allah, forgive my sins and take out that anger that's in my heart, that heat that is in my heart, that, you know, that hot-headedness, take it out of my heart. Wa adhhib ghayza qalbi. Very important dua. There's another beautiful dua, also attached to good character. Rasulullah has taught us this dua. Allahumma ighfir li zambi wassi'li khuluqi, and make my character spacious, such a character that I can handle pressure, I can swallow all the people's abuse. Give me a spacious character. A spacious character. It's a good character. Yeah, the word is spacious. Another beautiful dua. Allahumma inni bil ilm wa zayyinni bil hilm. And beautify me, ya Allah, with hilm. What is hilm? You have one is sabr and one is hilm. Sabr means some calamity and you make sabr. Hilm is that quality of forbearance. What's the difference between patience and forbearance? Forbearance means that at the time of a crisis, to be calm, level-headed, and handling it in a dignified, in an appropriate manner. That is hilm. So this quality is required. This is that preparation that we're going to work towards, and we're going to ask for Allah, and inshallah we'll be getting this, and we'll become soft by nature. That's the one point, an angle that we have to look at when we are going for Hajj. The other object, and the most important object for what we are going for Hajj, Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna awwala baytu wudi'a lin-nas lalladhi bi Bakkah mubarakun hudal lil-alamin." Surely the first house place on earth for Allah's ibadat is the house in Makkah. It is a house of barakat and hidayat. So we are going to Makkah, be it for Umrah or for Hajj. I'm going with this niyat that I'm going to get the barakat and I'm going to get the hidayat. I'm going to get the barakat and I'm going to get the hidayat. When you look at the Kaaba for the first time, say, Allah, I've come for the barakat of the house and the hidayat of the house, and I want to spread this hidayat throughout the world. As part of the hidayah throughout the world, I'll come back to that too. But I've come to get the barakat and hidayah. When you leave home and you're going for hajj, when you're making that 2 rakats of salat al-hajjah need, say, Allah, I'm going to your house, give me the barakat of the house of Kaaba and the hidayat of Kaaba. The barakat of Kaaba and the hidayat of Kaaba. Now what is the barakat, what is the hidayat? Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. Allah says, worship the Rabb of his house. The Rabb of this house, worship the Rabb of the house. That is, worship Allah. He will provide for you from your hunger and give you peace from your fears. So what we should all endeavor to do, when you are there, try and go and hold the ghilaf of the Kaaba. And then say to Allah, while you're on the ghilaf of the Kaaba, Ya Allah, you are saying, فَلْيَعْبُدُ رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. I must worship the Rabb of this house. That is you, Ya Allah. And I say to you, Ya Allah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. None do I worship but you. None do I seek help but you. Ya Allah, that is your condition. And I want to fulfill it. And I'm fulfilling it. Ya Allah, even in my hajj, I'm fulfilling it. By doing this, making your ibadat. Ya Allah, you said if I do that, you will provide for me from my hunger and give me peace from my fears. Allah will give it to you. That's why they say one of the virtues of a haji will never suffer from poverty thereafter. Haji will never suffer from poverty. Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, make umrah upon umrah. It will remove your poverty just like how fire removes rust from steel. You're going to get barakat. You're going to get barakat. Understand that. Make that hajj properly. Go and hold the hilaf of the Kaaba. Or get near there and tell Allah, your condition, I must make your ibadat. I am making your ibadat. Such an extent that I have even come for hajj in making this great ibadat. Ya Allah, give me barakat. In my risk, my children, risk, my progeny is risking and ask for everyone. Inshallah, the haji won't suffer from poverty again. So we should look forward to going on this journey. And Ya Allah, give me peace from all the things I fear. To understand this, it's in this green book also. But I'll just read it from here. It's very important that you keep this with us. I'd just like to read this virtue to you. Abdullah bin Sulaiman narrates, Adam alayhi salam made tawaf of 7 circuits of the Baytullah when he came into this world. Thereafter he performed 2 rakats facing the direction of the Baytullah, of the door of the Baytullah. He then came to the Multazam and made this dua, Allahumma innaka ta'alamu sarirati wa alaniyati faqbal ma'adhirati wa ta'alamu ma fi nafsi wa ma indi faghfirli zunubi wa ta'alamu hajati. فأعطني سؤلي اللهم إني أسألك إيمانا يباشر قلبي ويقينا صادقا حتى أعلم أنه لا يصيبني إلا ما كتبت لي ورضا من المعيشة بما قسمت لي. This is the dua of Adam alayhi salam. After he made the dua, look what Allah tells to Adam alayhi salam. Thereupon Allah Ta'ala revealed to Adam, O Adam, you have asked me and have accepted your request, your dua. None of your children, that is us, shall ask me of this dua. But I will remove his worries and sadness. I will suffice for his difficulties and remove the poverty of his heart and make it disappear in front of his eyes. I will make him prosper in his trade more than any trader. I will present the dunya to him even if he's inclined or not inclined. Samjha. Allah Ta'ala is going to give you the dunya even. Alhamdulillah, normally when we go, after we do our tawaf, we read that 2 rakats, then I tell them to carry the kitab and we read it loudly together so that inshallah that everybody can, they can't read the Arabic, at least they can say Ameen to it. And we do it in this way so that everybody can get the barakat. So this is the barakat. Look at this barakat you're getting to go. So it's not only for Hajj, it's all for Umrah. Very important that we learn this thing, then we prepare ourselves in this manner. Khair. That is the barakat. Now let's talk about the hidayat. This is the house of hidayat. Firstly, it is mentioned that when a person comes by the Hajar Aswad, before coming to Hajar Aswad, if he makes tawbah from all sins, Ya Allah, I want to give up all wrong, that will be stamped on his heart, inshallah, he'll get hidayat, he'll go back as a better person. So every haji, whoever it is, makes this niyat. If she's a lady that has been dressing up all her life improperly, incorrectly, not proper, shameless, tight-fitting clothes, makes tawbah, has been in a woman that has been all away from immodest, makes tawbah from that, that will be stamped on her heart. She'll become a pious person. She'll become a modest person. She'll have haya in her. Likewise, if that person previously had been a person who was very vulgar, he makes tawbah from that, he'll change. If a person has been indulging in whatever haram, drugs, alcohol, gambling, makes tawbah, inshallah, he'll become a better person. That'll be stamped. So that is why we all know our souls. That is why we all have to say to ourselves, I want to give up all sins. That will be stamped. That is the first step of hidayat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned here on the virtues of Makkah. When a person comes to the Hajr Aswad that makes istilam, when he makes istilam, he's like taken bad to Allah. Now you are now bad to Allah that you'll obey His commands. This is now taking you closer to Allah. Your relationship and your nisbat gets closer to Allah. Third thing, when a person starts the tawaf, he reads this dua, Allahumma imanam bik, wa tasdiqam bi kitabik, wa fa'am bi ahdik, wa tiba'a sunnata habibika sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's saying four very important things. I bring iman upon you. I've accepted your kitab. That means I want to follow the Quran. Allahumma imanam bik, wa tasdiqam bi kitabik, wa fa'am bi ahdik. I will fulfill my promise to you. What was the promise we all made to Allah? When we were small, we had learned iman in mujmal. Amantu billah, kama huwa bi asma'ihi wa sifatihi wa qabiltu jami' ahkami. I believe in Allah with all His names and qualities, and I will obey all His commands. Here at the Hajr Aswad, by the Baytullah, in the state of Ihram, it at the time of Hajj or Umrah, we're saying, Allah, I will fulfill that promise, that I will obey all your commands. So you make that niyat that you're going to obey Allah's command. وَاتِّبَعَ سُنَّةَ حَبِيبِكَ, and I will follow the way of my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'll come onto the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will bring in my life. I will shun the ways of the Yahud and Nasara and the Kuffar. And I'll come onto the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what is, when a person will do this, Allah will give him hidayat. And the next part is that the person makes the intention that he'll spread this hidayat throughout the world. Spread this hidayat throughout the world. Why? When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the Hajj, what did he tell the Sahaba radiallahu anhu? When he met them, when they all were together, according to some in Arafat, according to some in Mina, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "فَلْيُبَلِّغُ الشَّاهِدْ مِنْكُمَ الْغَائِبِ." Those of you who are present, propagate my message to those that are absent. So we must all return from Makkah as a da'i, as a person that's going to encourage everybody to do good, to stay away from evil, to encourage everybody to come unto deen and to give up all sin. This is what a haji is expected of him. Because our hajj is the hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the responsibility of propagating deen to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in at Arafah or in Muzdalifah, in that farewell hajj. Like how he has given to them that responsibility is upon us also to propagate this message. Now, my beloved brothers, an important angle and very important part is the part regarding how great this place is that we are going to, Makkah Mukarramah. This section that I'm reading to you is called The Virtues of Makkah Sharif. This is a whole discussion, a deep letter that Hassan Basri Rahmatullah Ali, on page 54, Hassan Basri Rahmatullah Ali wrote to a person who wanted to leave Makkah, telling him, how can you leave Makkah? This is written even before Bukhari Sharif. How can you leave Makkah Mukarramah, which is so sacred? Now I want us to understand how great this place that we are going to, how virtuous this place is. A lot of us go there, but we don't even know how great this place is. So I'll just read a bit about this place. Firstly, many of us have heard that hadith where Rasulullah has mentioned every salah is multiplied 100,000 times. Every charity you give is multiplied 100,000 times. If you gave 1 riyal, Allah gives you 100,000 in sawab. So if you are going to be giving the people food, water, whatever, multiplied 100,000 times. Any good deed you do is multiplied 100,000 times. So one Yasin you read, what's the reward normally? Is 10 khatam al-Quran. You read it over there, multiplied by 100,000, what it is? 1 million khatam al-Quran sawab you get when you read one Yasin Sharif there. So what I do when I go there, I say, Ya Allah, I'm reading this one Yasin for my marhuma mother. This is for my marhum father. This is for so-and-so. This is for so-and-so. I take one name. 5 minutes, one Yasin. So if I make for different family members, each of them is getting the reward of 1 million khatam al-Quran sawab. How great that is. How virtuous that is. Why, look at how great it is. That's why we have to spend our time in the haram. We have to spend our time properly there. Because that is where you're getting all the reward, not anywhere else. Regarding how great this place is, whoever looks at the house of Allah Ta'ala with iman, hopeful of rewards and acknowledgement, will have all his past and future sins forgiven. He will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah with those who have attained salvation. Allah will resurrect its residents on the day of Qiyamah, safe from punishment. There is no place on earth towards which all the doors of Jannah are open except Makkah. There are 8 doors of Jannah, one directly above the Kaaba, one by the gutter, the Mizab, one by Hajar Aswad, one by Maqam Ibrahim, one by Rukn Yamani, one by Safa, one by Marwa. These various doors. If you're standing by Maqam Ibrahim, you're standing directly above one of the doors of Jannat. And you say to Allah, I'm standing by your door. Ya Allah, I have good hope you'll put me into Jannat. One of the du'as that I also make, Allah put in my heart, I used to tell Allah, Allahumma kama sharraftani bi ru'yati baytik, fa sharrafni bi ru'yati yawm al-qiyamah an zaradimani. Oh Allah, like you have, bless me to see your house. Bless me to see you on the day of Qiyamah in such a way that you are pleased with me. That is it. Allah will only bless those that He wants and He loves, He brings them to His house. And you bless me to see your house, bless me to see you on the day of Qiyamah in such a way that you are pleased with me. There is no place on earth in which dua is granted more than Makkah Mukarramah. There are 15 different places that dua is accepted. We'll go through all these places of year. A dua at Hajar Aswad is most definitely accepted, likewise at Rukn Yamani. The space between Rukn Yamani and Hajar Aswad is a garden from the gardens of Jannat. There in Medina Munawwara, we have to make that app to go into the garden of Jannat. Rukn Yamani, Hajar Aswad is also a garden of Jannat. Duas are accepted here. And what I tell the people, when you are in that place, say, Allah, I'm here in Jannat now. And you say, whatever duas you make in Jannat are accepted. Accept all my duas. So sometime when you get a chance, go to these places, make your duas over there, know that you are in Jannat. Anyone who falls ill in Makkah for one day, Allah renders his body and flesh haram to the fire of Jahannam. Anyone who falls ill in Makkah for one day, Allah records for that person the reward of having done good deeds equivalent to 60 years of ibadat. Anyone who endures the heat of Makkah with patience for an hour of the day, Allah will distance that person from the fire of Jahannam by a distance of a journey of 500 years. So these are just some of the virtues. There are lots and lots of virtue of here. To go through the section. Now let's go through the whole procedure now, inshallah al-Aziz. And a person will put on that ihram at the miqat, at Muzdalifah, and he starts his labbaik. You must know that now you are part of the delegation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do you for Rahman. Allah is looking at you with the eye of love. Allah is so happy that you are now coming towards His house. When you will say labbaik, everything to your right, everything to your left will testify in your favor on the day of Qiyamah. The trees, the stones, everything, when you are saying that labbaik, the sign of a haji, the male, is that he should be saying the labbaik loudly. He should be saying the labbaik in such a manner that his voice must become hoarse. He must become hoarse so much he must say. It is a sign of attachment to Allah. When a person will put on that ihram, I take out those clothes because Ya Allah, your happiness lies, I must put on two sheets. No underwear. No problem, I'll make you happy. Ya Allah, you want me to detach myself from my wife in a sense that now I must not have any close relationship. She must be on her own, I am on my own. My tawajjuh is on you, Ya Allah. So you go in that world. You want me to come without any frails? No, I mustn't put itar thereafter. I mustn't put what you call toothpaste, all these things. Ya Allah, if that's where your love is, I am prepared to do it. And in this way, a person is now going. Allah says, I love you for doing this. Then whatever dua you're going to start making now, I'm going to be accepting all your duas. I want you to ask so I can give you. You are so honored. You are the guest. Duyufur Rahman is your title. You are the guest of the most compassionate, the most merciful. Allah is saying, you are my guest. You are coming to my house. I'm so happy you're coming to my house. Allahu Akbar, how fortunate. We servants, we are His creation. But He's looking at eye with the eye of love. It is said when a person makes tawaf, Allah has 360 gazes, 80 gazes He looks with mercy at those people that are making tawaf. So understand our position, how high we are in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when we will get to Makkah Mukarramah, and then we go and basically wash up and prepare ourselves to go to the haram, go in such a condition that you are not tired, you will be able to concentrate. And then you come to the Baytullah for the first time, you'll be in ihram, the ladies will be in their normal clothes, and you'll get to the haram. When you enter the haram with your right foot, keeping your gazes down, knowing that your first look at the Kaabatullah, your duas are accepted. When you get to the Kaabatullah, of all the duas you're going to make, and you're going to ask Allah for hidayat, and you're going to ask for barakat, you're also going to say, Allah, from now on, whatever duas I make, please accept it. Because your du'as are accepted. From now on, whatever du'as in future I make, get accepted. In this way, you become mustajabud da'wat. One whose du'as will always be accepted. And after you made all your du'as, and then you're going to start your tawaf in such a way that your right shoulder is open for the men. And you're going to start your tawaf, and you're going to come to the Hajar Aswad, and you're going to say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, Walillahil Hamd, picking your hands up like in Salah, and stretching it towards the Hajar Aswad, and kissing your palms, and then you start your tawaf. The men in the first three rounds will make what is called ramal, picking up the knees a bit and moving the arms a bit, just to have following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And every time you come by Rukna Yamani from there to Hajar Aswad, you read Rabbana Atina fi dunya hasanata wa fil akhirati hasanata wa qina adhab an-nar. And then you come back to Hajar Aswad, you make the istilam again, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, Wallahi alhamd, stretching your hands toward the Hajar Aswad. In this way you do the seven rounds. Now I'll ask you, why do you do the seven rounds? Why not eight? Why not six? Why not nine? Subhanallah, subhanallah. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, when they built the Kaabatullah, after they built the Kaabatullah, they went seven times round to check that everything is perfect. Allah loved that act that all of us are going around the Kaabatullah seven times. In memory of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. So we do this. And thereafter we'll complete our tawaf. But some certain duas I suggest, like first round you praise Allah, second time round Darud Sharif, third time specific one dua. Ya Allah, forgive my parents, forgive my ustaz, forgive my family members. Falling around, forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah. When a person makes tawaf, he's diving into the mercy of Allah. Hadith there. When a person makes tawaf, it's like making the tawaf of the Arsh of Rahman. Ya Allah, make the decision that you'll always be pleased with me. You won't become angry with me. Ya Allah, protect me from doing those things that will earn your wrath. Ya Allah, give me the tawfiq of giving up all sin. Give me and the entire ummah of Rasulullah SAW hidayat. You choose a dua and you start making the dua, you'll be able to concentrate better and you'll find your tawaf will go easy. And when you are concentrating in dua, then subhanallah, the tawaf is easy even if the crowd is big. You won't feel it. Because you're concentrating on what you are doing. You're not worried about the other people. And this is not a place for selfies. Allah protect us from that evil. You finish your 7 rounds. You read your 2 rakat tawaf. Wajib tawaf. In the first rakat after Surah Fatiha, Qulya al-Kafirun. Second rakat after Surah Fatiha, read Qulu Allahu Ahad. By reading that 2 rakat salah, it's like you have freed a slave. This is the sawab. Going from Safa to Marwa, you get the reward as if you have freed 70 slaves. Understand the virtue. It's not a burden. It's a ni'mat. After that, you make one, you'll be eating Zamzam water, and you make one more istilam. One more time, you face the Hajar Aswad, and you make Bismillah Allahu Akbar. And thereafter, you do your Safa, Marwa. Between the green lights, the men will run, and you'll read those duas that are there. You complete your 7 rounds. Thereafter you shave your hair, now you're out of ihram, this is the part of your umrah. Now let's get to the part of your hajj. On the 8th of Zilhajj, now Allah Ta'ala makes it easy, has already taught you how to make umrah, how to do safa, marwa, tawaf, all that is easy. Now you come to the 5 days of hajj. First thing, understand, hajj is easy. What I said? Hajj is easy. Very easy. Don't stress yourself at all. Maulana, you know, what if some hair is going to fall off? What if I scratch? But you are going to scratch. Hair is going to fall off. It's natural. I mean, sometimes you just, how much of hair must be on this musallas over here? You can always see it over here. What does it mean? It's going to happen. Don't frighten yourself with this. Don't frighten ourselves with this coming in ihram. Ihram is not difficult. Hajj is, on the first day, ensure that you go to Mina. By the buses are going to take you to Mina, or you're going to walk to Mina. Ensure you perform your salah there. By we all are going to be in Jamaat. We're all going to be reading it together. You're not going to be alone. That nobody, you don't know what's happening. Ensure that on the 9th you must be in Arafat, and you be in the section where it's not outside Arafat, you're inside Arafat. By all our South African tents are inside Arafat. Man, make sure you don't read Maghrib Salah. Nobody's reading Maghrib Salah over there. So don't frighten and tension yourself for nothing. And the one other thing is that in the Shaykh, you know, in Muzdalifah, you must join your Maghrib with Isha Salah, and it's going to be 1 azan and 2 iqama. Gee, bhai, we're reading in Jamaat. We've got a whole group of us. We'll all be together. So you don't have to stress about that. The Maulana's over there. And you know, you must look for the stones and make sure you don't pick up goats droppings nearby. You're not going to pick up those goats droppings over there. There's enough floodlights over there. It's so much more easier, you know. So all these things here, they frighten you. What? Then have 3 bags of sabr. Don't put the people into fear. Don't put yourself. Yes, sabr for what? That you mustn't fight for nothing. Things are hard. No, it's not hard. And you know, on the first day, you will only go pelt the big jamarat. Make sure you don't pelt the other jamarat. Because you think you don't know how it is, the big jamarat, small jamarat. The police won't even let you go by the small jamarat. And you think everybody going by the big jamarat. So what's the big story about? Hajj is so easy. When it comes to tawaf ziyarat, we'll be doing it together. Tawaf wida, inshallah, we'll be doing it together. So the whole procedure is easy. It's easier than namaz. It's easier than namaz. Because you're just following the whole group. On the 9th of Zilhajj, you must be in Arafat, you're going to be in Arafat. And that night you must be in Muzdalifah, you're going to be in Muzdalifah, inshallah. So Hajj is not difficult at all. That you must understand, and don't let people put you into fear. And this about, you know, putting you in such stress, and some people don't want to go for Hajj because they've been put, so much of fear has been put into their hearts regarding Hajj. It's not difficult, it's easy. So on the 8th morning, We wake up at tahajjud time. Before that, we will shave the hair, we will remove the hair from under our armpits and below our navel, prepare ourselves, have the bath before coming to ihram. On that, before Fajr, tahajjud time, we go to the Jamaat Khana that's in our hotel or in Azizia. We will make our salah there and we do it together. We read, after our tahajjud namaz, we read the sunnat al-ihram salah, which the procedure will be told to you. And then we'll make the dua together. We'll read the labbaik together. We'll say, Allahumma inni uridul hajj fayassirhu li wa taqabbalhu minni. We'll say it. We'll make it. We'll read it loudly. You'll repeat it. So there's nothing to worry about that part. We are there to assist you, to guide you, to show you. Then if you're going by walking, we will take you. Those that are going with us walking, we'll go walking. Those that are going by bus, the guides will be there to put you onto the bus. And so beautifully, beautifully done. That all South Africans, for example, if it's bus 21, that bus 21 will stop at 1021. The tent number is 21. It will be written there, African, non-Arab, with a special color. You know that this is your tent. South African flags will be there. And you'll be guided into your tent. No problem. The next day, that if you're going by bus, that bus will pick you up from there, will take you 21 in Arafat. You'll be there 21 in Arafat. And there all the South Africans will be there together. That evening when you leave from there, the bus will take you and bring you to 21 in Muzdalifah, where all the same South Africans will be there from all parts, whichever group you are with will all be there. And from there you'll be guided with the agent who will take you to Jamarat, you'll pelt the Jamarat. From thereafter, you'll go to Azizia. You get to Azizia. You know, you're completely fully guided. You get to Azizia. Relax. Announcement will be made. Your qurbani has been done. You shave your hair. The men, girl, ladies will clip the hair, put the hair, a portion of it under the small finger, clip it. You're out of ihram. Now you can take a bath. Now you can put your normal clothes. Everything is now permissible except husband-wife relationship, that only becomes permissible after doing the tawaf ziyarah. You finish with that, you relax, you have a meal. Basically, Hajj is 2.5 days of ihram. Actually, 2 days. 8 you come on, 10th you're out of ihram. Not, 5 days is there, but these are the 2 main days. So nothing to get tensed about. No, you know what? Unscented soap, but you can do without that soap for the 2 days, and unscented, what you call that, roll on, whatever, you don't need all those things over there. 2 days you can manage without that, because the sign of a haji, disheveled hair, moist ihram, dirty cloak, that's what Allah wants to see. Not that you must be fancy like you're going for your nikah. That's what the haji is supposed to be. I want to see your disheveled hair. Hoarse voice, the side of a haji, men must be excessive, labbaik, and abundant blood because they made their qurbani. And they had the dam is shukar, and the dam, what you call, of the yearly qurbani can also do it. Any case, after you finish that, my mashura to all of you, after you finish that, by the evening go back to Mina, sleep there in Mina, spend the night there, the next day there, then muassasa will come, sauk will come. And the agent will come. 3 guides. Muassasa will come with one badge, one like banner. Sahuk will come with the South African. And you'll get what you call the agent. You know what? Your time to go pelt the 3 jamarats is from this time to this time. They'll take you, guided tour, pelt a small jamara, medium jamara, big jamara. That's on the 11th. First day, pelt only the big jamara. For every stone you pelt, one such sin will be removed. Had it remained, it would have led to your destruction. Allah is removing that. So on the second day of pelting, you'll pelt all 3 jamara. After the first and second, you make dua. After the third, there is no dua. Thereafter, you come back to Azizia. And normally, this our system is, that night of the 11th, after the second day of pelting, we then take the group and we go to Makkah Mukarrama and we do the tawaf ziyarah. I tell them, do the tawaf ziyarah, do the tawaf wida, do your safa marwa. Now you finish with your faraz and wajib. Come back, go back to Mina, pelt on the 3rd day again, that's the 12th. Then you can come back to Mina, back to your tent, do the 13th pelting, and now your Hajj is complete. This is in short, there's a lot of virtues that I've left out, like the virtue of the qurbani that you'll do, that will be a treasure Allah will keep for you, that when you're making the tawaf ziyara, Allah is saying, announcing, all your sins are forgiven. You are now completely washed of all sins. Now you must be aware how you lead your life. There's a lot of virtues, you'll find it in the kitab also, inshallah, you can check through it. I have dedicated some now time for some questions and answers, and then I'll just touch a little bit on Aqsa, inshallah. Gee, any questions? Hajj is easy. No questions. You can wear an ankle guard if you need, if you've got a problem. If you need a knee guard, you can wear a knee guard. If you want to take some medication, you can take medication. Whatever medication you need, you can take. So these are things that is permissible. You have people amongst the men, elderly men, that may have a problem, what you call drips of urine, etc. Now they're in ihram, what do they do? Yes, for them it is permissible to wear underwear and put some kind of tissue over there, to not to mess their, what you call, ihram. All this is because of circumstances of elderly people having problems, they can do these things. So there is certain, you know, relaxations for people who have certain problems, etc. A lady that is in a state of haiz in her periods, she makes the niyat and she'll go through the entire procedure. She only has to wait to get parked and cleansed, and thereafter she take a bath and she does the tawaf ziyarat thereafter. So these are some of the rules. Inshallah, if there's anything else, you can always ask me, and inshallah, we'll inform you. Regarding going to Masjid al-Aqsa, subhanallah, we all should make intention to go there. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged us to go to Masjid al-Aqsa. To go to Masjid al-Aqsa is the place where Qiyamah will take place. People will gather there, and your Qiyamah will take place there. Now imagine you going there. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. The land will testify for you on the day of Qiyamah. If you went to Masjid al-Aqsa, you went to that land where your Qiyamah is to take place, and you read namaz there, that land will testify in your favor on the day of Qiyamah. This is the land where any part of that compound, if you read two rakats, you are reading salah where either an angel made sajda or a nabi made sajda. This is how special this place is. When you look at that rock, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the person, that rock is from Jannah. Al-Ajwa min al-Jannah wa Sakhra min al-Jannah. The person that looks at this rock and loves this rock, Allah loves him. Then when the crusaders had taken over Aqsa, they used to break pieces of that rock. If that weight was 100 grams, they were given 100 grams of gold. This is how great it is to see that rock. On that rock, Israfil alayhi salam is standing, waiting for Allah to give permission to blow the trumpet. Qiyamah is to take place there. So there's so much of virtue of going to Aqsa. So we should all make intention of going there, inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq. Any other questions, inshallah? The details, inshallah, those that are going to Aqsa, we'll tell them about that. And we'll go into the details over there, inshallah. Any other questions, inshallah? There's cards here. Go outside there, by the table. It's on the table, the cards are there. Gee, the kitab, you can get it from IG Hussain's, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ashabi barik wa sallim jazallahu anna Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ma'ahulah. Ya Arhamar Rahimin, Ya Zal Jalal Ikram. Allahumma innaka afuun kareemun tuhibbul afafu anna ya kareem. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. Ya Arhamar Rahimin, bless every Muslim to make Hajj in the correct manner. Help us to fulfill the rites of Hajj. Protect us from all haram. Protect the Muslims from showing disrespect to the Makkah, Mukarramah, Madina, Munawwara, and Aqsa. Protect the Muslims from indulging in photography and in videos and all those things that you have prohibited. Allah, protect our sisters from becoming shameless. Give them haya and modesty. Save them from shamelessness. Allah, make them parda conscious. Give them hidayat. Allah, save every Muslim from zina. Save every Muslim from pornography. Save every one of us from all types of haram. give us pure halal sustenance. Bless us to go to Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, Aqsa time and time again. All those that made intention for Hajj, bless them with the accepted Hajj, with the true Hajj. Give us the beautiful qualities that you expect us to get through the Hajj. Give us hidayat, give us good akhlaq. Ya Allah, through your fazl and karam, accept all our du'as of afiyat. Allahumma inna nasulaka min khayrin ma sa'alaka minu nabiyuka Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min shari ma sta'azaka minu nabiyuka Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa anta musta'an wa alayka al-balaag wa la hawla la quwwata illa billahi al-azim. Ameen. Bi fadli subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Salamun muslimin. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.